God is good, but Dad pastors over there, and now my brother pastored Zion Baptist, and they just merged with my dad's church, and now they're both under the name Post Falls and renovated the building. And so we praise the Lord. God allowed us to be here for the inaugural service. What a great blessing to see what God's doing there. Well, I called your pastor. I've known Pastor Stansfield for decades. When we were young guys down in southern Idaho, I was the assistant pastor of Bible Baptist Church in Mountain Home. And of course, I knew him before that. So I praise the Lord for Pastor Bobby and the blessing he's been to me over the years. And we've talked over the years many different times. But I'm a missionary to the military and military prisons. That's what I do full time. I'm a Gulf War veteran, Air Force Security Police, and did 4 years and got out. I did not retire, but I was in law enforcement for a while. Some of you know my story. And my brother went to prison, and God started working in my heart. I hated inmates. I just didn't like them, and I've been hit, punched, cussed at, spat on, barfed on, you name it. I just didn't. But then my brother went to prison. God, long story. I'm not going to give it to you tonight, but God broke my heart and started working with volunteering in prison. And then the door to work with the military prisons opened not too long after we were on deputation. And so we left Bible Baptist Church in Mountain Home, Idaho. We moved into a travel trailer. So I've done this travel trailer thing before. But in fact, God kind of brought that verse up. God gave us a verse, Proverbs 24:27 says, prepare thy work without, make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. And so we sold our house. We gave everything we had away. Moved my two little girls and my wife into a little tiny 25-foot travel trailer, no slide outs. The four of us lived in that for a year. Wow. And some of you, people have been here a while, might have seen the presentation. We got a big trailer. We got a big 40-footer that we lived in for a few years after that. But then we ended up getting a house over there next to Fort Lewis, where I have served as a missionary civilian chaplain for 16 years. And so someone told me the other day, you're a veteran missionary. I said, well, I'm a veteran, yes. No, you're a veteran missionary. You've been on the mission field. It's been 18 years I've been on the field. And so we actually just started our 19th year this year. And so we've been around for a while. But God has been so good. Literally seen, I'm not a numbers guy, but we have literally seen thousands of men and women come to know the Lord. Amen. And all military, most of them military inmates, some MPs, military police, and their families. Right now, I was telling Pastor this morning on the phone, we've got two families in our church that are former inmates, faithful members of our church over there in Puyallup, Washington, and we just thank God for that. By the way, pray for the churches in Washington. I refrain from making political comments, but it's bad for those churches over there. My pastor is beside himself. Just trusting God, pray for them. It's just very difficult, all this strangulation, I'll just say that. So pray for them. Make sure you get a prayer card. Some of you have maybe a prayer card from years past. This is about 3 years old, 3.5 years old, something like that. This is my last one with my girls on it. Makes me want to cry. We just had new pictures, and my girls aren't in it, and I want to cry. My oldest is married. We are new grandparents. He is 13 months old, and he is already 30-something pounds as a Hulk. He's just big. But anyway, we are happy grandparents. But lots of life change. God's just done a lot of things. I don't have time to talk about the whole 16 years, but when we started at the military prison at Fort Lewis, I had a volunteer badge. I was able to come in one day a week. And bottom line is this, when the prison shut its doors, they're tearing it down right now. It was the oldest prison in the Department of Defense. They've been talking about rebuilding for the whole 16 years I've been there. But anyway, they finally did it. And so they are tearing it down. They're going to rebuild. It's set to reopen in 22. And so our plan is, after 18 years on the field, we're going to take our first furlough and travel and preach at churches that have supported us. You all, we've seen more often than some of the supporting churches back east that have supported us. There's some we haven't seen for over 10 years, and so we've got to get over there, see them, and we will continue to do prison revivals at Fort Leavenworth and down in San Diego at the Naval Brig. There's a big Naval Brig down there, as well as on the East Coast, Charleston and Chesapeake. And so we'll continue to do that, report to the churches that we haven't been to in forever. Lord willing, raise a little bit more support. We have packed everything once again into storage. We were in contract on our house, and we now live in a 28-foot fifth wheel that's 15 years old. So we basically had to rebuild that too, and so just pray, just pray. I told your pastor this morning, I don't know, and with all this COVID stuff, you know, everybody's life is kind of just inside out and upside down, but, you know, in the last 2 years, and I don't mean to play my violin here, but I lost my dad. That still just kills me, but I lost my daughters. They're both gone, and they're not coming home. You know, yeah, got a son-in-law. I've heard all that, you know. But my youngest baby's not married yet, but so the girls are gone. My dad's gone. Now my prison is gone. That, man, that hurts. It's just, I feel like we're starting all over. And I told Brother Bobby this morning, I said, I feel like I'm just taking a step out with my eyes closed saying, Lord, I'm just waiting the Lord to catch my foot. And that's why he said what he said tonight, I think. You know, just God wants us to continue to try. By the way, that's what prompted me to study and preach what I'm preaching tonight. Without faith, we forget that. It's impossible to please God. We start thinking we're spiritual. I'm not trying to punch y'all in the gut, but you're not spiritual. There's nothing spiritual about it. The only thing spiritual about us is His Holy Spirit that indwells us. The only life we have is the life that He's given us. And we aren't spiritual. And I have those days, and man, the uphill climb, and you, God, what other major life change can you throw at us? And then He throws COVID. I'm like, really, Lord? Now I can't even book church meetings. I'm serious. I mean, the last 2 months, we worked on getting our house ready to pack up and repairs, and then we got the trailer, and I had church meetings booked and revivals at Fort Leavenworth canceled. Revivals at Miramar, California canceled. God, what are we supposed to do? My church meetings. You can't come, brother. We can't have church. And so we're literally stepping out. I had a meeting last week. God just aligned it up. Tonight, it was just God just put it there. Sunday, we're going to be with our sending church in southern Idaho, Lord willing. And we're just praying that God just keeps giving us church meetings, and I'm able to go and report to the churches that have supported us. And just pray with us, please. I really need your prayers. My wife desperately needs your prayers because she has to live with me. So pray, just pray for us. We're really stepping out once again. And really, this is my biggest fear, and I shouldn't have a... You see, God's convicting me while I haven't even preached yet, and He's already convicted me. Exodus chapter... I'm just being transparent tonight. Exodus chapter 1 said, there arose up a generation that knew not Joseph. I've been in that prison for... And the warden gave me a cell door. Like museum, real cell door. I spent literally thousands of hours witnessing to military members that were incarcerated behind that door. Gave it to me. And I'm going to bolt it on my wall when we get in another house one day. I'm not hauling around the country. It weighs like 300 pounds. But, you know, so I have a great rapport. I know lots of people. But the problem is this. Military, anybody who's, I know we've got at least one veteran here. Military changes every 2 years. You got different commanders, different sergeant majors. So when that prison reopens, there's no guarantee. There's just no guarantee. I've got letters. I've got all kind of stuff. I've got contacts. But a lot could change in a year and a half. And so just pray that when we go, when it reopens, that if that's God's will, that we will be able to go right back in like nothing happened. That's what I meant. I forgot to get right over it. God gave by the... So we started with just one volunteer, one night a week. By the time I left, when that prison door closed for the last time in March, I had a staff badge, keys, unrestricted access. I was the only civilian volunteer to be able to do that. God has just given me unprecedented... The commander had given me I'm bragging on God. Amen. God had gave us an official appointment as the lead civilian chaplain in the facility. So I worked for the colonel, but you know, I was respectful. There's a military chaplain. And so, you know, I just said, hey, I'm your assistant pastor. You take care of the admin, I'll preach. He said, that sounds great. I said, praise the Lord. So I got to do all the preaching and ministry, and he did all the paperwork. I mean, how good is that? So it's just been good. Just pray. By the way, he's Seventh-day Adventist, and he sent me a support check. I about fell over. God is good. So just pray for us, please. With all that being said, I'm going to do my best tonight to preach to you tonight. I heard Brother Bobby, Pastor Stansfield. I hope I'm a blessing to you tonight. So I'm going to start with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, and we're going to go all the way back to Genesis 22. Very common passage of Scripture. You probably heard lots of messages from this. I won't have you stand just because the time and stuff, but Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 says this: "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called." So here we have Abraham, and we all know the story of Abraham and Isaac. He offered his son, and we know that he offered him in faith. Hebrews 11, we know the faith chapter. I know your preachers preached on the chapter of the Hall of Faith. By faith, Abraham offered his son. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He had to trust God. And sometimes we're like, Lord, here's my son, you know. And we offered our children, God, here's my kids. I want you to take them. I want you to use them. But it wasn't quite that context. And he wasn't really understanding what God was saying. And then he has the promise on top of it. God was ultimately asking Abraham to give everything. And so Abraham had to trust God in an uphill climb, in a dry, rocky climb, when he was tired and tired. Kind of like what I was just whining about. God, I feel like we're going uphill and I'm kicking rocks and it's dry and it's hot. And how long do we have to go like this? And maybe you feel like that since, you know, what was that, end of February? And maybe it's the last couple of years. I don't know how you feel, but I'm just telling you, it's hard. It's hard. But there's something I want you to see in this. And with the Lord's help, I'm going to preach to you on this topic, the faith of a father. Go to Genesis chapter 22. I'll read our main text and we'll pray. Genesis chapter 22, verse number 1 through 14. Again, you all know this passage, so just bear with me. "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for Pastor Stansfield and his faithfulness here at Foundation. Lord, thank you for Brother Mendoza and his family, and Lord, these faithful church members that are here on a Wednesday. Lord, I just pray that you'll meet with us tonight. Lord, you've already convicted me. God, I just need to trust you. I pray you'll help us to continue to walk by faith, not by sight. Lord, it's ugly out there. God, help us tonight. Whatever these dear folks are going, Lord, this family with a loss, and Lord, the job and the physical things and this pandemic, and Lord, all the things that are going on, help us not to look around. God, I pray you'd help us look at you tonight. Lord, know, not hope, not think so, but know that you are there. God, I know that you'll meet our needs. You'll take care of us. You'll get us through this. Lord, worst case scenario, you'll take us home. God, what a blessing it'd be. Lord, we love you. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I've read this chapter many times. I've had lots of guys come in. They call me chaplain in the prison, so no, I don't get paid by the military. I'm supported completely as a missionary, but they call me chaplain. And so, that, by the way, that's one reason I have a beard. By the way, I'm going to pick on your wife, Brother Stansfield. Can I do that? Is that okay? Normally, I don't do that because that's bad. I'm not supposed to do that. But I remember, I think when we were here, man, it's been years ago, and I remember showing our presentation. There's a picture without me without a beard. You remember this, Mrs. Stansfield? And she came up to me afterwards. She said, "Brother Lance, don't ever shave your beard off." I said, "Wow." I had to teach you. So whenever someone says, "How long have you had a beard?" I said, "Well, forever now." But anyway, I just always think about that when someone asks me if I'm going to shave my beard off. I always think about Mrs. Stansfield. Don't ever shave your beard, Brother Lance. Yes, ma'am. I apologize in advance. I'm sorry. Anyway, God is good. Man, see, that threw me all off. Have you ever looked at situations and just wondered, God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, here, Abraham, God comes to Abraham and he asks him this seemingly impossible task. He asks him to do this thing that nobody thinks anyone could do. He says, I want you to go and do this. And instead of saying, hey, listen, by the way, I want you to pick up and get your fire and your wood and all the things and take your son, and I want you to go and offer him. I want you to think about this. You know, semantics are important. The way the Bible phrases it, context is important. Both in Hebrews and here it says, offer him for. In Hebrews it says he offered him. I would challenge you this. We all need to offer our children. We all ought to offer our lives. There's a lot in the Bible about being a living sacrifice. One of my favorite verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2. We ought to offer ourselves. You say, well, yeah, but that didn't mean die. Actually, it does. That I die, that Galatians 2, 20, that he may live. We have to die to get out of the way. And so even if he meant it in that literal sense, are we willing to offer the most important things in our life for him? It might be, again, that's where that spiritual, hopefully this is all coming together. Where I said we're not spiritual, we'd like to think, and I know how the preaching goes in here. Well, I'd like to think that I'd say, God, I'll give you whatever you want. But the reality is this, none of us are spiritual. And when it comes to certain things, we don't want to give God everything. We want to hold back. And well, Lord, I'll give you this. In fact, I'll even give till it hurts. But this little thing over here, I want to hold on to. We all have that. But Abraham right here, in verse number 3, it doesn't say, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and said, God, I ain't going. He doesn't say that. He didn't even tell him where he was going. He says, I want you to get your son and get your stuff and get ready to go, and I will, where I'm going to tell you to go. Yeah. In other words, you got to step out on faith before I tell you where you're going. And the Bible says in verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clay for the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Which means the second we step out like this and say, all right, Lord, I don't know, but God, I'm trusting you, that when that foot hits, God will tell you. He will give you direction. 3, 5, and 6. I love that verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You have a preacher, I don't understand. Lean not unto thine own understanding. God never asked you to understand. He just said, trust me and I will give you direction. Well, God's given me bad directions before. My friend, God is not Google. Google Maps has given me terrible directions before, especially when I was pulling a trailer. Yeah. God doesn't do that. Here's the problem. God says, I want you to go that way. And what we say is, I don't want to, and I'm going to go this way. It's not that God wasn't faithful to give direction. The problem is that we weren't faithful to heed his direction. Right. We do what we want to do, and we find ourselves in a big mess. That's been my prayer this whole thing. My wife and I both said, God, please. In fact, I remember whining to my mom a couple weeks ago. We came over a few weeks ago to get the trailer before we were repairing it, haul it back over there to help move things into the trailer and stuff. And I said, man, mom, I said, I was complaining to mom. Does anybody else complain to their mom? I said, mom, I said, this is just frustrating. I said, we are so behind. I wanted to be gone. Are we on the road? We are so behind. And she looked at me and said, honey, it's God's timing. You are going exactly when God wants you to go.
Right.
Here it is. Abraham's walking by faith. It took great. He said, well, how do you know he has faith? Well, because he went up in the morning, early in the morning, and went. He didn't start whining and say, well, where to? And God, what am I supposed to do? He just kept walking. That's point number one. Abraham kept walking. When it looks bad and it's an uphill climb and it's insurmountable circumstances and things that you don't know, keep walking. Keep walking with God. Maybe you're right at that point where you just want to quit. I remember going to my pastor years ago. I think it was back in, and I can't remember now, 2008. They shut down the prison for just a short time to do asbestos abatement and some other things. And I remember going to my pastor, and we had like over 50% attendance in the prison chapel. And I remember going to Pastor McKenzie and said, Pastor, we just had over 100 men in the chapel. We had 50-something saved that month. I said, this is incredible, and they're shutting it down. God's taking my ministry. And you know what my pastor told me? He says, Brother Lance, he goes, I'm really glad that you take ownership, but it's not your ministry. He says, I'm glad that you have that ownership, and I'm glad you love it, but it ain't yours. That's God's. He just lets you in on the deal. And I say that all the time now. God let me in on the deal. I praise it. But we go through things we don't understand, and we stay faithful. He says, just walk with God. And no matter what you think, well, God opened up a whole bunch of other doors for that year. It was just shy of a year or so. God opened up a whole bunch of other doors and kept us busy. We were down in the juvenile facilities and saw amazing work happen while that year was going on.
Right.
And when we came back, they asked, that's when I got my staff badge. And that's when another chaplain came in and it opened wide up. And he was a Mormon. God used a Mormon chaplain to open the door. You say, Brother Lance, how's that happen? God, I mean, that's what it is. God can use lost people. God can use false religions. God can use bad circumstances. God can use COVID. The question is, are we going to keep walking? Do we walk with God? Abraham kept walking in spite of Satan's lies, in spite of the uphill climb, in spite of the rough trail, and in spite of the impossible, unthinkable tasks ahead. Just keep walking. That's what Abraham did. That's what we should do. Second thing tonight is this. Abraham kept worshiping. Look what the Bible says in verse number 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder. It just shows you he's from the south. And worship and come again to you. You say, well, Brother Lance, where's the faith in that? When Abraham kept worshiping. Listen, Abraham said, hey, although I see this thing and I don't understand, I'm going to keep walking with God. But the very first thing I do when I'm on a trail that I don't like and I'm going uphill and it's rocky and dry and hot and I just need relief and I don't understand, the very first thing I'm going to do is worship God anyway.
Glory.
And the boy and I are going and the boy and I are coming back.
Amen.
That tells me one thing, that there was faith of a father.
Right.
And he knew that in spite of what God had asked him, that God would be faithful. He said, we're going to be back. We're going over yonder. And we are coming back. He didn't say, I'm coming back without my son because I got to offer him to God. He said, we're coming back. You ever, man, I've talked to a lot of people who said, well, preacher, I just don't feel like going to church tonight. Listen, that's the night that you need to go the most.
Yeah.
I had guys tell me, well, chaplain, I'm not going to the service tonight. I'm in a bad mood. I said, well, then pack up your bad mood and let's go. Well, you don't, I don't need, you say God looks at the heart. He don't want me there. I said, listen, you get there and let God talk to you because that's what you need to hear right now. Listen, keep worshiping. Worship when you don't feel like it. Brother Mendoza gets up here and leads the music. Sing the song whether you feel like it or not.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. You start singing about God's grace. Reaching the most defiled. Man, I saw that verse right there. I think of some of the men I've dealt with. You say, man, those jokers don't deserve heaven. Neither do you.
That's all right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
By grace are you saved.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think, well, I deserve it more than him. Well, if you deserved it more than him, that means it ain't grace.
That's right.
That means you deserve part of it. It's unmerited. It's not partially merited. Come on now.
Good.
Keep worshiping God anyway. I don't care if you don't feel like it. You know what? If you raise your hand and start remembering what God did for you when you were way down, and God took you up and set you on a solid rock,
yes.
And God took all those fears and all those problems away, and he saved your soul and started cleaning you up. See, Brother Lance, I've got a long way to go. Oh, tell me, I know.
That's right. Amen.
I look in the mirror every day and say, God, how in the world can you use someone like me?
Right.
I remember driving home from the prison one night. I said, God, I can't do this. I'm not trying to get weird on you, but I was driving home, and it's like the Lord was sitting in the car with me. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I said, Lord, I can't do this. There's nothing I can do. It was a really, really bad situation. And this young man was hurting. I said, God, there's nothing I can do. Why did you call me? I can't help this guy. There's nothing I can do, Lord. God said, that's exactly why I called you. Because if you thought you could do something, then I'd let you. I had to pull my car over, get right with God on that back road of Fort Lewis and say, God, forgive me for thinking I'm something. God, we've got to keep worshiping God. It's all about God. It has nothing to do with us. If we would just yield and follow the Lord and keep walking with him and keep worshiping him,
amen,
y'all might have revival next
week. Amen.
I get in the way so often. I'm just being transparent. I get in the way. I'm always in the way. I'm like, Lord, just get me out of the way. Man, I need the Lord so bad. I'm telling you. My prisoner said, Brother Lance, or Chaplain Lance, you don't understand. You're right, I don't. But you don't understand how bad I am. I said, I'm just like Paul. I'm the worst. I'm the least of these. I said, the only thing good about me is the Lord. And that's all I know to tell you is it's all about him. Abraham kept worshiping because he is worthy, not because Abraham is worthy. We don't worship God because you're worthy or because you feel like it or because you like to do it or because you understand. We worship God because he's the one that's worthy.
Yes.
I and the lad will go yonder and come again to you. Verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his... By the way, he already had the fire. Amen. I think some of us, the fire went out. I wonder how many of us have fires burn out. You remember when you got saved and you were all excited, you witnessed to anything that moved. And now you can't even remember the last time you told someone about Jesus. Boy, it got quiet. I'm going to tell you, get some fire. But this is the time. People are hurting and people don't understand. They're like, man, well, yeah, but I mean, they allow you to meet. Yeah, we're meeting and we need the Lord. And man, he's why I keep going. And he's the one that, why I'm not worried and why I'm not more panicked about all this stuff going on in the world is because of him. It's an opportunity to witness to somebody. And I can't remember who I was talking to the other day about the Lord. And same kind of thing just kind of going on. Oh, no, it was my cousin. Man, he needs to get saved. I said, man, I said, how are you and the Lord doing? He goes, he said, what? I said, God. Oh, yeah, yeah, me and God are good. I said, well, that's easy to say. I said, the only way that we can be good with God is if Christ is in us. It's one thing to say, well, I know Jesus, but the question is, does he know you? And you just share the word with somebody. By the way, and that just brings in the third point, and I know what time it is. Abraham kept working. Share the gospel with somebody. Y'all need to keep working. Don't just keep worshiping. I'm glad you're in church tonight. And I'm glad you at least try to walk with the Lord. And that, I mean, y'all came to church tonight. And that's a good thing. But we need to keep working. Sometimes we like to sit back and say, well, I'll let the pastor and the assistant pastor do the work. And I'll just, no. We need to work. We need to do something for the Lord. Abraham said, where am I? In verse number 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid upon Isaac his son and took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they both went them both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Can you imagine what was going through Abraham's head? Well, boy, you don't understand. God told me to offer you. Now, the Bible doesn't say that. I understand it. But I believe this. Even if Abraham said that, I believe that that young man saw enough faith in his father. By the way, it didn't just appear miraculously right then. I'll show that to you in Scripture in a minute. There had to be a pattern of faith. We're talking about a young, strapping, strong young man and an old 100-year-old man. Something in his son said, Dad, I've watched you walk with God. I've seen a faith in you, and even when I don't have enough faith myself, it makes me think of my dad. I remember when he packed us up and moved us all the way from Florida up here. I said, my dad has lost his mind. So much so, Mom, I moved back to Florida. But you know what? Look what God has done. Verse number 8, and Abraham said, well, son, I don't know. This is too bad. God's lost his mind. That's not what he said. Look what it says. God will provide himself a lamb. God already knew in Abraham's heart. He had already yielded to God and said, I'm bringing him. God, he is yours. You gave him to me. He's already yours. But regardless of whether he's yours, or even if I didn't recognize that, he's still yours. I believe with all my heart that you will provide. And he had enough faith to tell his son, God will take care of it. Man, that's all we tried to do with our girls growing up. And they watched us on the road. And they saw, by the way, your kids know how you are at home. Man, you can come to church and act all spiritually. They know how you are at home. Isaac knew how Abraham was at home. And I'm not saying he was perfect. He was a man. The Bible has a lot to say about that. But there was faith there. The Bible said this, and they came to the place, verse 9, which God had told him of. By the way, that tells you, remember the walking I talked about? Worshiping is us talking to the Lord and telling him how good he is. But you know, when we're walking with him, he'll talk to you. God told him, which the place which God told him of. He didn't just say Mount Horeb. He said, I want you to go right up there, right up yonder. He already knew he'd been talking to the Lord. And Abraham built an altar that the very first thing he did was worship God and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar of wood. Once again, I told you, that this, I don't believe that this faith just suddenly, well, he just suddenly trusted his dad. I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. Yeah, I don't see any great, well, you big, strong teenage guy right here. Yeah. You know, you don't just go, if some little frail old fella comes up and tries to tie up a strapping young, I don't know how old you are, but teenage boy. Come on now. Hey, listen, I've been in the prison. I've walked. In fact, I had to help carry out some guys. Some of these guys are rough. And most of my soldiers are between, listen, 18 and 22. They're all kids.
Wow.
They're huge. Some of these guys, that's all they do is work out in the military and see how many push-ups they can do. These guys are big guys. And you can't tell me that some older fella, like Abraham's going to say, all right, boy, if he didn't trust him. That means Isaac trusted his dad. All right, Dad. You know what that tells me? It wasn't just Abraham's faith. Mm-hmm. Isaac trusted. What do our kids see? Man, I want my kids, I praise the Lord that they're good kids and they,
they are in church and they love God. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes, do they see my faith in God?
Yeah.
Is it enough to make them want to trust God?
Right.
Abraham, he kept working. He was tired. He was old. He didn't see God's provision, but he believed it was there. And Isaac submitted because of his faith. Last thing, we'll be done. Abraham kept watching. Man, I wonder how many of us have quit on God. Maybe not physically, because you're here tonight, obviously, but spiritually, we just quit watching. We miss it. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but if we're not watching for God's provision, and we're not watching for God's perfect timing, and we're not watching for what God has for us, did you know that it could cost you your kids? You say, well, my kids are already gone. Mine are. It could cost someone else's kids. It could cost someone else's life. Let me show you what this is right here in the scripture. The Bible says in verse number 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took his knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called on him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. I believe this. I remember being a kid watching. Y'all remember the flannel graphs? Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I remember seeing a picture of the altar on there, and they had Isaac tied up laying on there, and they showed Abraham like this. Come on now, y'all know what I'm saying. Listen to me. I just read it to you. I don't believe it ever got that. The Bible said he reached out his hand to take his knife, and God called him. Read it again. I don't think his life was ever in danger. The only way his life would have been in danger is if his daddy quit watching for God. If his dad was not plugged in. That's why I believe we're losing our youth today. Because we got a whole bunch of church members that aren't plugged in. And they aren't still watching. And they aren't still worshiping. And they aren't still walking with God. And God's calling, but they ain't hearing. And it's costing the life of their children because they pick up the knife and it's too late. Faith of a father is so important. We just had Father's Day. I didn't even think about that. If my dad hadn't had the faith he had in ministry and my watching, where would I be tonight? I don't know. Maybe God would have called me anyway. I would have been all right. But maybe I could have got, my wife and my mom and I were talking this afternoon. What if I hadn't got saved? I mean, I'm a rough character. And I'd be even a rougher character if I wasn't saved. I can't even imagine what I'd be like. Come on now. Are you still watching? You say, yeah, but Brother Lance, things are so bad. God, like I said in my prayer, worst case scenario for the world, best case for us is the eastern sky splits. Come on home. I mean, you say, but Brother Lance, it's getting so bad. I know. Woo! Let's go. Man, let's go to the end. You say, well, how do we know if God's done? We don't, but you know what? Let's keep walking. Let's keep worshiping. Let's keep watching for God. What does God have for this church? What does God have for me in my ministry? I don't know. I told you, I'm literally stepping out. I have 2 scheduled meetings. 2. I have no idea. But you know what? I trust God because God's not, I'm not the one who decided to do this. Someone said, why prison ministry? You don't just wake up and say, I'm going to go preach in prison. God is who put me where I am. Putting me into the ministry, Timothy. You know, I'm not one of these scholars that says in the Greek, but I tell you what, I did work that word. When it says pudding, did you know, when you start digging, it means ambushed. That means God saw me there and he's like, he has no idea. Gotcha, boy. And he put me in the ministry. I love it. God put me where I am. God put you where you are. And I don't know what you're going through. And I don't mean to minimize any hardships or difficulties or hurt. God knows exactly where you are. And I really believe if we keep watching, the same thing will happen is exactly what happened here. That God will provide what you need when you need it. It might not be until 11:59 when you need it at noon. I'm just going to tell you something. It happened. I just believe it. I just do. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I'm going to tell you something. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Trust God. Trust the Lord. I started thinking about the faithful heritage. I'm out of time. But listen, Abraham, I wrote this down in my notes this afternoon. Abraham's faith was seen by Isaac. That's why Isaac trusted God.
Yep.
Because he saw his daddy's faith. Come on now. Isaac's faith was seen by Jacob.
Yep.
Come on now.
Yep.
Why was Jacob the man he was? Because his dad had faith. Jacob's faith was seen by Joseph. Why did Joseph, when he got thrown in the pit and put in Potiphar's house and put in the prison and put in the pat? Because of his dad's faith. Now, he's not riding on his daddy's coattails, and no one can ride on mine. But to say our impact doesn't affect our kids?
Right.
What about the next generation? Maybe your kids are grown up and gone. Listen, if you don't think you... I have so many men that are in my life that have impacted my life. One of them, Brother John Cook. I was talking about him earlier today. In fact, I sent him a message. I guess it was his birthday the other day, and maybe you don't know who he is, but I sent a message that said, thank you for the impact you've had in my life over the years. When my brother was in prison, he was one of the deacons that knocked on my door and said, I know you're hurting. I know you're mad at God, but don't give up. God knows what he's doing. I can't tell you. Listen, the faith of a father, Joseph's faith was seen by all of Egypt and Israel. And we all know the line of Joseph, the line of Israel, Christ came. Faith builds upon faith. I challenge you, church, don't quit. With this revival coming next week, y'all look to the Lord, the faith of a father and how important it is. And again, I didn't think about Father's Day, but pray for us. We're stepping out on faith again. I have no idea, but I trust God. I think you know that you need to as well, amen? I'm just going to be done with that. Hopefully the Lord gave you something tonight. I know I stopped kind of abruptly. Sometimes you just need to quit. It's time anyway, so... Listen, let God do something in your church. Y'all don't, I don't care how tough it gets. Y'all keep going. Y'all keep witnessing. Y'all keep praying. Man, pray every night for that revival. Invite your family. You say, well, I've invited them 10 times. I've invited this neighbor 50 times. By the way, my neighbor, I witnessed to him. How many years, Christy, did I witness to John? 6, 7 years? I don't even know. Probably more than that. Military veteran, Navy Seabee, retired. He knocked on my door one night. Chapel Lance, I need to get saved. He came in my house, and I gave him a Bible, and I led him to the Lord on my couch. My pastor let me baptize him. He's not one of the other guys. I told you, he wasn't one of my prisoners. He was just a retired guy across the street. Mm-hmm. Came to my daughter's wedding. Listen, don't give up on people. God can use you. Amen? Trust God. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Preacher, you come. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being here. I pray that somehow this just simple message will resound and reverberate through our hearts and mind, Lord, that we would think of how great you are. Lord, everybody wants to focus on why you would ask us to give our kids. And Lord, I don't believe you ever wanted Isaac's sacrifice. You wanted Abraham's all. Lord, I just pray that that's what we would give you tonight, especially as they get ready for this revival coming up. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.